Okay, let's come to God's word this morning. You know, if you were to stop a person on the street and ask them, where is the church or what is a church? 90% of the time they would point to a building, isn't it? They would say, there's the church or there's the church. But when we go to the New Testament, we've realized that the church is not a building, it's people. Okay? It's us. We are the church. This is Ashirvad Hall. Word of Grace Church is this group of people meeting together. And so this morning we'll look at one of Jesus' amazing promises. In John chapter 16, when Jesus asked the disciples and said, who do people say I am? And Peter, due to the revelation of the Holy Spirit, he says the Father revealed to Peter that Jesus is the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said that in Matthew 16, verse 16. And then Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So here we see an amazing promise. Jesus says, I will build my church. And he says, whatever hell throws at it will not be able to overcome it. Okay? That's what it is. But you see, which is this church that Jesus is building, that the gates of Hades will not prevail? And so the best way to look at that is to go to the New Testament, to the book of Acts, to see when the first church came into being. And let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at two aspects of this church in Acts chapter 2, when the church was first birthed on the day of Pentecost. We're going to look at the composition of this church, who made up this church, and we're going to look at the character of the church. What was that church like? And we're going to look at this because we want to be that kind of a church. Okay, that's the kind of church Jesus says, I'm building. That's the kind of church that will withstand the gates of hell. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 36. Okay, so to cut to the story, this is where it is. It's a day of Pentecost. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. And he tells the disciples, listen, wait in Jerusalem till I send the Holy Spirit. And we see that the disciples were waiting. They were waiting in Jerusalem, in the upper room. They were praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. And then on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place and something amazing happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Okay, let's go on to verse 36. And Peter, a great crowd of people gathered. They could hear these people speaking in different tongues and languages, and a great crowd of people gathered. And Peter proclaims and preaches the gospel, most powerful gospel message there that first Pentecost morning. And carrying on in verse 36, he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he proclaims Jesus. When the people heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? When the people heard about Jesus, the Holy Spirit touched them and they said, Lord, yes, Jesus is the risen God. He's the one who died for us. What shall I do? What shall we do? And verse 38, Peter replied, and we're going to read from verse 38 to the end of the chapter. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word this morning, Lord. We thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you that we have in Scripture a record of what the church should be like and what the church was. Lord, I pray that you would direct our hearts and our minds to this wonderful account of the first church, Lord, that we too would imitate and emulate them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so very quickly we're going to look at two major categories. What was the composition of this church? What was the character of the church? Okay, so I'll just put mine. Yeah. So let's look at them. So the first thing is, it says there with many other words, verse 40, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Okay, so Peter preached the gospel, and then this is what happened. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can you imagine that day? They were a small group of people. They were just 120 people that had gathered together. And suddenly, 3,000 people were saved. Wow, that is amazing growth. 120, small group, and that day, at the end of the meeting, there were 3,120. Okay, now, these formed the church. Now, what were the characteristics? So the first thing is, they were born again. Okay, where in verse 38, Peter says to them, repent and be baptized. Okay, so the first thing is the church, those who were added to the church were people who were redeemed. They were born again. They're the ones who said, Jesus is Lord. I need to repent because I'm a sinner. And they believed that in their hearts. And then they demonstrated in their actions because they were baptized in water. Okay? And the fourth thing that happened was the Holy Spirit came upon them. They received the Holy Spirit. That was a promise of Peter. Okay? And So they were born again, baptized, Spirit-filled. And the next thing is they were added. Everybody say added. Added. That means they belonged to that body. Now, at that time, there was only one church. So they could only belong to that church. But they were added. And that means there was some commitment. It wasn't a casual thing. They say, I belong here. Okay? So this is one of the compositions of the first church. It was made up of redeemed, born again, baptized, Spirit-filled, committed people. That's what we want to be. Okay, Jesus said, I will build my church. This is what he's building. And you've got to ask yourself, am I fitting in with Jesus' blueprint? This is what's there in Scripture. Do I have faith? Have I repented? Am I baptized? Am I filled with the Spirit? Am I committed to the local church? Okay, the next thing is, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, another component of the church was they were centered around teaching. Not any teaching, but what the apostles taught. And the word is devoted. It wasn't a casual thing, we'll do it once in a while. It was regular, consistent. And so teaching and doctrine is a very important part of being a follower of Jesus. That's what the early church did. They said, feed me. Peter says in 1 Peter, he says, you know, the word of God is like milk, spiritual milk, through which we can grow up in our salvation. Just as a baby needs milk, we need the word of God and we need correct teaching. Okay, so teaching. At Word of Grace, teaching comes in different ways. Sunday morning, there's a word preached from the word. We've got the in-depth discipleship training being held every month. This month, it's the Global Leadership Summit, 24th and 25th, where wonderful teaching will be imparted to help you grow as a Christian. Okay? We've got gym groups where we're going to study a book of the from next week onwards, okay, called Praying the Lord's Prayer. Again, teaching, where we get into God's Word. Okay, and there are many other opportunities for teaching, for learning and teaching. So the question is, if you want to build God's church and be part of that, be devoted to teaching, receiving the Word of God in your life. Not only were they devoted to teaching, but they were devoted to praying. Look at that there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay? Prayer was critical in the blueprint for God's church. And prayer is just talking to God and listening to Him, spending time in His presence. And so, we'd encourage everybody to have a time of personal prayer, where it's you and God, meeting with God in the morning. You know, Jesus did that, Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. So there's times of personal prayer and there's group prayer. As Austin shared this morning, you know, we meet for prayer as a church on Friday evening. Okay? Now, those who live this side of town, NIBM, we'd love you to be there. It's just an hour and 15 minutes once a week. Come and be part of praying for the church. That's what the early Christians did. They devoted themselves to praying. On Tuesday mornings, again at NIBM, we have a men's prayer breakfast that's happening, and shortly we'll be starting one on the other side of town as well, Baner and Aund. Okay, and so we have different opportunities to pray. And if you want to see the church established and the church grow, we've got to give ourselves to prayer. I commend and appreciate all those who make it on the Fridays and on the Tuesdays. Well done. You know, you are building according to the blueprint there. Okay, the next thing they did is not just prayer, but they had fellowship together. Okay? And here, this fellowship is not just drinking a cold drink as we serve and having some chips, but fellowship is relationship. Okay? So they were together. They had deep relationships with one another. And it wasn't just a face-to-face relationship where, you know, hi, I'm Colin, what's your name? You're so-and-so. Nice to see you. Bye. See you again next Sunday. You know, I remember many years ago, you know, this is what happened. I was living in a building and I kept meeting these people and we kept doing the same thing. Hi, how are you? You're fine. We must meet up sometime. And I tell you, and we wouldn't see each other every day. It was every 3 months or so you'd meet in the lift together. And this went on for a couple of years till one time the guy said, you know, you always say that. So really, there was no fellowship. It was just a face-to-face thing that we are saying. And we don't want that to happen. In the church, we want to be like this early church. And we look at what kind of fellowship they had, how they connected, and how they related. Okay? So the composition of the church was this: born again, baptized, spirit-filled, committed. They devoted themselves to teaching. They said, want to learn the Word of God? They devoted themselves to pray. And they devoted themselves to fellowship. So when they devoted themselves to fellowship, that means they devoted themselves to deep, meaningful relationships. So we'll look at that in a bit, and it'll come out here. And then we see the results of what happened. As they did that, there's input, there was some output. And so we'll see the character of the church. Okay, this is what happened. Verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe. Okay, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So the first result of that was people were filled with awe. I mean, they said, hey, there's something different about these people here. There's something different here. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that when unbelievers come into a meeting, they must be able to say, God is here. Okay? And so the presence of God is what results when we devote ourselves to teaching, praying, fellowship, worshiping, and so forth. So there was awe. Not only was there awe, there were the miraculous signs and wonders were done by the apostles. okay, when we meet together, we are expecting God to do something. Okay, we are saying, Lord, would you do what you did? Would you heal? Would you come into difficult situations? Would you change lives? And we've been hearing some testimonies this morning, but we say, Lord, we want to see more. Everybody say more. More. Don't you want to see more? Yeah, we read about things and, you know, cancers disappear. Diseases are healed. Legs grow. You know, people who are drug addicts and alcoholics immediately touched by the power of God changed. Wow. Now, we've seen that happen. You know, but we want to see more. Okay, and then that is one of the things that was a result of doing these things. Then not only was it awesome with the presence of God, with signs and wonders, but the second thing they had was unity. Three times in those verses, it says all the believers were together. Again, elsewhere it says in verse 46, every day they continued to meet together. And verse following, they broke bread in their homes and ate together. Let's say together, together, together. Okay? So there was this thing of not me and God. No, it's we and God. Okay, there is something about worshiping God together. And they were in it together. And there was community. And what are the things they did? Well, it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They met every day, they continued to meet together. So this is what they did. Meet, eat, and share. That's what they did. And really, if you want to build on this blueprint of Jesus' church, we've got to follow the same things. Let me ask you a question. Do you meet anybody from this body apart from the Sunday? If you want to be biblical, they continue to meet together every day. Wow, that standard is high. Now, maybe they met together because they were 3,000 people, you know, and they said, we can't meet all together, we'll have to break it up or whatever. But the essence of what they're doing is they met together. They didn't come for a meeting. Okay, they said, I want to go and visit my friend. Let's go and meet. Let's pray together. Let's share. Okay, they met together. Not only did they meet, but they ate together. Okay, eating together, as I've said it earlier, is a key part of accepting one another. You know, in our nation, people don't eat together. Do you know that? Yeah, because of the caste system, because of all these things, because of vegetarian and non-vegetarian and Jain, and so you've got different kitchens, you've got different castes. And in villages, the lower castes are not allowed to draw water from a well. This is for the higher caste, this is for the lower caste. This is the sad thing of India. You know, they forget about eating together. They're not even drawing water from one another. All right? Recently, in one part of India, a lower caste man came to the shop to grind wheat, you know, and a higher caste guy killed him. This is in India that's sending 104 satellites at one time into space. We're so modern and advanced when it comes to technology, but when it comes to theology and human understanding of one another, we are so in the dark ages. He says, this fellow's shadow came upon him and polluted him, so he killed him. Friends, India needs Jesus, okay? Jesus is the only answer. The other religions have no answer for unity and love because they are all dividing people. Whereas Jesus says, we are all one. There's no high caste, low caste, rich or poor. And so we see that they ate together. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you ate together with somebody at Word of Grace? I want to encourage you. Do this weekly. Let's get together for coffee, for a meal, have people over, take them out. But listen, on a Sunday morning afternoon, at the end of the meeting, guess what? We are all hungry, aren't we? Anybody not hungry after a Sunday? We're hungry. You know, around 5 minutes from now, our minds go to lunch. What have I cooked? Where am I going to eat? Now listen, it's wonderful, but just do it with somebody else. Okay? Just say, hey, would you like to come? Let's catch a burger. Let's go to Sahil. Or let's go somewhere else to Darabji's. Or come over to my home. You know, just eat with somebody. Because you've driven from wherever you've driven, you've come here, just spend another 45 minutes obeying Jesus, eating together. Okay? Then not only do they eat together, but it says, all, verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Okay, this is an amazing thing. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Unless we meet together and unless we talk to one another, we won't know what are the needs of people. Okay, so I want to leave you with this morning. Say, listen, at the end of the meeting or during the week, meet with somebody and say, what's happening in your life? You know, what are you thankful for? What are you struggling with? And you'll find out needs. Okay? Now, some needs we may be able to meet. Some we can just pray for them. But other times, let's be generous in meeting needs. Maybe somebody's in need of some money, a cell phone, you know, a laptop, whatever. And that has happened in our midst over and over again. You know? Recently, we sent a message, I think. It was for Lassia and Vina. They needed some furniture for their new house they've moved into. You know? And we said, great, can we help them out? You know, because we have so much. And so we got to look at saying, who can I help this morning? Okay, so then that's what the early church did. They continued to meet together. They selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Okay, and that's how we'll meet the needs of one another. Then, what else happened? They ate with glad and sincere hearts. Well, one of the characteristics of this church was they were a happy people. Okay? You know, you can go to some churches and it's almost like a funeral is going on. Isn't it? You can't talk loudly. You gotta sit quietly. But listen, they ate with glad and sincere hearts. Okay? We want to be a people who are full of the joy of the Lord. Okay, and that's, I believe we have that here. There is a happiness. You want to, I mean, there are so many people who've come to our church and who've said, you know, people are so happy, you know, and this, you know, there's a smile on people's face. People are glad, and that's wonderful. And what else did they, what result of that? Verse 47, praising God. Praising God was an important aspect of their meeting together. So they praised God together and also they broke bread together. Okay? I want to encourage us to do that. When we meet, maybe when you visit somebody for a meal, break bread. Yeah, do that. Praise God. Have just a few minutes of, let's just praise God. Let's pray together. Okay, they did that. And enjoying the favor of all people. And the last thing is, and the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. The end result of that was phenomenal growth. Okay, not just little bit growth, little growth, phenomenal growth. The church grew from 120 to 3,120, and then they soon grew to 20,000. Every time, you know, so many more were added, so many more, they grew to 3,000, 5,000, whatever, so many were added. And that's how the church grew. Now, for this to happen, yeah, it's like this. You can't clap with one hand. As much as the hand may be good, you can't clap. You need two hands. The same thing with the church. Each one of us is a part of the church. We are all living stones. Okay? And together we form a holy temple for the Lord to dwell in. Now, what we've got to look at is this. Two things can come out of this sermon. We can look at somebody else and say, yes, this person is not doing this. And she's not doing this. And he's not doing that. Is that the way to do it? No. I think what we got to look at it and say, okay, I'm responsible to helping Word of Grace Church being built according to Jesus' blueprint. Where is it that I am lacking? And let's seek to fulfill our role. Okay, let's say, okay, so am I born again? Am I baptized, spirit-filled, committed? Am I devoted to teaching, to praying, to fellowship? Okay, am I devoted to unity? To love, to eating and meeting and sharing, you know, to praising, to praying together, to being together. And as we fill that gap, the church will definitely grow. And we will be like this church. Okay? That's the kind of church Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Let's be that. You know, today we shared, for example, the NASA thing. Let's say, yeah, so that's a way to meet needs. You know, and there are so many other needs as you talk to people. Let's be a people that are generous, that are happy. Amen. Shall we pray together? Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you that you are building your church. Lord, you said the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Lord, you've laid down the blueprint. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, we would fit in to that blueprint, Lord. We would be those living stones, oh Lord, placed by you. Would you help us, Lord? Would you help us? Would you give us understanding? Would you touch our hearts and help us to obey, Lord? Oh Lord, would you build a wonderful church to the glory of God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.